I'm going to read to us from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and verses 8 to 20. Luke 2, 8 to 20. And then we're going to be looking at that. One of the things we kind of hear all these familiar readings each year, don't we? We don't always stop and dwell upon them in the lead up to Christmas and maybe rush through them on Christmas Day itself. But they will be familiar words to you. The first seven verses of Luke have described the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. And then from verse 8 it goes on, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." A bowler-hatted official walks self-importantly to the gate. A notice is posted on the railings. The crowd surge forward to read these words. "At 11:27 this evening, Her Majesty Princess Elizabeth gave birth to a boy, Charles." Flags are waved and the metallic voice of a Pathé newsreel gives the news throughout the nations. A child born to be king has arrived. And telegraphs from palaces around the world send congratulations. Anyone remember that? Yeah, Graham, well done. Pat, possibly. One or two owning up to age. It was no great surprise. Everyone knew Princess Elizabeth was expecting. But there was joy at the birth of this child. And this year, after 70 years as heir to the throne, and I think it's about 75 years of life, isn't it? Prince Charles has fulfilled his destiny and is now King Charles. It was all rather different, wasn't it, 2,000 years ago? God chose to announce the greatest news of history, not to crowds outside a palace, or to princes, or to priests, but to peasants, simple shepherds. It has to be said that they were rather surprised by the royal announcement. As the authorized version delightfully puts it, they were sore afraid. They were surprised, I would guess, by the manner of the announcement. They were indeed terrified. An angel of the Lord and the glory of the Lord? Imagine if you were doing what you normally do. Just sitting there maybe minding your own business, and suddenly an angel appears to you with this great announcement. You would perhaps be sore afraid as well. It's a reminder, isn't it, if any were needed, that God is not bound by our human conventions, but announces himself in many and varied ways. Sometimes it's through the dramatic. Sometimes it's through the still small voice. For these shepherds, it was very much the dramatic. Then I think that they're also surprised by the content of the announcement. In Royal David City, a saviour has been born, Christ the Lord. Now, a kingly Messiah had been the hope of Israel for generations upon generations, but perhaps as time goes by, it became a fading hope. And would that baby, born to be king, really be found, as they were told, in a manger, a feeding trough for animals? I mean, surely a palace would be way more appropriate and a nice sort of silk-lined crib for the royal baby. That's a reminder that God does not come in the way that we want. But he does come in the way that he has planned. And we shouldn't confine him to working in our ways and coming as we want him to come. But we should be ready to look for God in the unexpected things as well as the expected things. I'm guessing too that the shepherds were not only surprised by the manner of the announcement, the content of the announcement, but also by its timing. At night, on the hills surrounding Bethlehem, wouldn't daytime have been better? Wouldn't it have been better, this announcement, in a public place? Sometimes God breaks through into the life of a person when we least expect it. It could be the one that you have prayed for and about for years and years. The one maybe who has been on the Alpha course when you've managed to persuade them to come. And of course, that's where they're supposed to find God, isn't it? But maybe they haven't. Then they watch a TV program. Then there's a minor, what seems to be a minor incident happening in their lives. And God speaks. Then perhaps they look out at the night sky and ponder their own insignificance. And God speaks, the God of infinity speaks to them. God does speak in his way, doesn't he, and his time. And I think too that these shepherds would have been very, very surprised to be recipients of this announcement. You see, shepherds were outcasts in the society of 2,000 years ago. They traveled from place to place. They roamed all around the place. They had a reputation for being light-fingered, being thieves. If ever something went missing in the local area when shepherds were around, they were the ones who would get the blame. And we can maybe think of people today who get the blame, whether justly or unjustly. And also their work kept them from being able to worship in the right way. It kept them from the rituals of worship. It meant that they were regarded as unclean in the eyes of the Jews. They would care for the sheep, which were used for temple sacrifices, but they couldn't offer those same sheep as sacrifices in temple worship. They could easily have thought, and were often given that impression by others, that God wanted nothing to do with them. Now, you may be someone here today who thinks that really God wants nothing to do with you. And maybe you're here under duress, I don't know. But God is the God of surprises. And Jesus always welcomed those who felt unclean, who felt undervalued, who felt unworthy. And he still does. Jesus is the one who turns values on their heads, and he says things like, the last will be first, and the first will be last. And possibly when we think that surely we must be part of God's kingdom because of our great maturity in the faith and immense learning perhaps, he says, unless you accept God's kingdom in the simplicity of a child, you will never get in. So these shepherds were surprised by a royal announcement. And perhaps we may be also surprised by a royal announcement. But then they were also summoned to a royal appointment. Some of you may have been to Buckingham Palace for a royal appointment. Anyone here been to the palace? Been inside? John and another, and Karen as well. We honour you, we honour you. But really, that's not the purpose, is it? You were there, presumably, to honour the Queen, as it then was, assuming no one's had the invite since the King has ascended to the throne. If I were summoned to a royal appointment, the important thing perhaps would be not so much receiving the invitation, but to obey it, wouldn't it? It's little use receiving an invitation if you don't respond to it. The important thing would be to obey it. And these shepherds find themselves summoned to a royal appointment. The angel didn't actually tell them to go to Bethlehem, but what he said and how he said it left them in no doubt. This will be a sign to you, said the angel. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And so we're told they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was indeed lying in a manger. In other words, they were told, they found what they were told they would find. But what if they hadn't trusted the angel? What if they hadn't gone to their royal appointment? They would never have found the royal king. They would never have received the honour of being the first on the scene. That would have gone to someone else. But because they went, these shepherds, their lives were turned around. They were turned from people of no respect to people of much respect. They were turned from nobodies to God's somebodies, remembered through history ever since as the first people to go and worship that new king in Jesus. We don't know precisely what impact this appointment had on their lives, but we know that it made a difference. Now, I believe that God calls each person to a royal appointment. He says, come and see my son whom I love. And for each of us, there is a time and a place to meet with God's Son by royal appointment. The question is, will we answer the summons? Will we, like the shepherds, go and see the Son and worship him as our Saviour, the one who forgives us, and honour him and recognise him as the leader of our lives? Will we recognise not only that Jesus was born for us, but that he died on a cross, a king crowned with thorns, to show his love and to offer his forgiveness? I wonder if you've had that royal appointment. My own royal appointment may well not be dissimilar to that of many of yours, but came at the age of 13, when challenged quite a number of times over the years. And I grew up, yes, in a Christian family. I had the privilege, I think, of being the son of a Baptist minister and actually the grandson of a Baptist minister on my mum's side. So really, my mum should have known better than to marry my dad, shouldn't she? She knew what she was letting herself in for. And there is a sense in which when you're brought up in that sort of environment, you can go two ways. There's not really any middle ground. You're either so turned off, aren't you, by sometimes the attitudes of people to you, or you find yourself turning to God, and hopefully in great faith and obedience. And for me, I found myself being challenged from quite an early age, but it was 13 when finally I responded to that call at a meeting in my hometown of Lowestoft and turned to Christ. But I think, what if I'd missed that appointment? You know, what if I hadn't responded at that time? Because I do look back to that moment and think that was decisive for me. But what if I'd said, no, look, Lord, I'm not ready. I'll do it in a year or two. I'll do it later. Would there have been another opportunity? Well, I don't know. But I'm just so glad and grateful that I responded at that time in that way. We are summoned to a royal appointment. And then, having been summoned and having responded to that call, I also believe that it doesn't stop there, because we are sent by royal appointments. You may have seen letter headings which come from companies and the like that say, by royal appointment to, I'm going back here because I haven't seen any to the king, but by royal appointment to Her Majesty the Queen. A few years ago, when people die, you find out lots of information about them and their background, isn't it? But there was someone whose funeral I took, whose father was said to have been a cord winner. I didn't even know what that was, but it's a shoemaker. Posh way of saying shoemaker. A cord winner by royal appointment to Queen Victoria. I mean, that goes back a long way, doesn't it? If your business is given the epithet by royal appointment, it means that the Queen, and now the King, has recognized that you are serving the royal household as a supplier of goods and services. So now you know, something to look out for. But we too, having been summoned to a royal appointment, are sent by royal appointment, sent to serve our King, the King of Kings. God hasn't finished with us when we respond to his announcement. He's not just in the numbers game of getting one more into the kingdom and another, and then moving on to the next. He wants to send us so that we can be a part of his divine plan. So we come to worship Jesus, as many of us do, Sunday by Sunday. And we're sent by royal appointment to His Majesty, King Jesus. He recognizes us. He calls us to serve Him. Just as if our King sent us, God's royal appointment is not something to be taken lightly. We learn from the shepherds what we're sent to do. They were sent to spread the word. We often call Jesus the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. That is what Jesus is. When the shepherds had seen Jesus the Word, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And I guess that they could have stopped there. They could have, I mean, when things happen to us, we do tell others, don't we? When exciting things happen, we do tell others about it. But I wonder if we eventually it starts to lose its excitement and we stop telling others about it. The shepherds maybe could have stopped there with just telling those around them, and then people get rather fed up with them talking about it all the time, so they stop doing it. But it seems the shepherds carried on doing it. We're told that all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Telling about Jesus didn't stop with just telling Mary and Joseph what the angel had said to the shepherds. It started there for the shepherds. They went on telling, and I think that's how we know about this story. Because the shepherds kept telling it, and word reached Luke, and Luke wrote it down in his gospel. And all of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, are sent to spread the word. We're not sent just once, but we are sent again and again. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the sense of what Jesus says to his disciples there before he ascends into heaven is go and keep on going into all the world and make disciples. Be and keep being my witnesses in Buckingham and beyond and to the ends of the earth, as Jesus would say today, I believe, if he were here. So we're sent to spread the word and to praise the Lord. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. We've got lots to be thankful for, haven't we? Hands up. You're not looking very thankful at the moment. There's another hands up here. Hands up if you remember your own divine appointment and responding to it. Well, lots of us do. That's good. I mean, I don't think, you know, this is not to single out those that aren't putting their hands up, because sometimes we can't be completely certain when it was that we maybe gave our hearts to Jesus, but we knew at a certain point that we just had done so. You know, we suddenly things have started to make sense. So it doesn't happen in the same way to all of us. And maybe it hasn't yet happened for you. But we are sent when we know that we are children of God and loved through Jesus Christ. We are to praise the Lord by royal appointments and to spread the word that Jesus is Savior. So we may be surprised by a royal announcement like the shepherds. We are summoned to a royal appointment by King Jesus. And having responded, we are sent by royal appointment into the world. And I wonder who Jesus is sending you to this Advent season, this Christmas time. Who are the people that you would love to come to know Jesus? Who are those that maybe you've tried before and you've, in a sense, got fed up with trying, and they've got fed up with you trying? Maybe one more time. This could be the time that the Lord will summon them through you to his royal appointment to follow him. The message of Christmas is a great message, isn't it? And we have tremendous opportunity at this time of year to share it, just as we were doing yesterday through breakfast at Bethlehem. The message of Christmas is come and see King Jesus. Come and enjoy Christmas. And yes, look at the manger, but worship the baby who is in it. The one who grows into the man who we know as Jesus, who dies on the cross for all who will believe in him, who is raised, as we've been singing this morning, and in glory with his Father God, and who will one day come again. Go and tell the world, your friends, your family, your colleagues, anyone you can, that he is Jesus, Savior to the world. Amen.